With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Warren Radio. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. All correspondence and inquiries of the WIBR Warren Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warren-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warren Radio on Facebook, on Twitter, by hashtag WatchmanIS216, also hashtag Warren Radio. You can find us on LinkedIn using hashtag Watchman. And join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warren Radio. The WIBR Warren Radio is on 3 new social sites: Parler, Clout Club, and Gab. And you can listen to our shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warren Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. You can also listen to our shows on warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now I invite the Watchman.
You're listening to Warren Radio on the WIBR Warren Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. Here we are again, another week. Seems like things go by real fast.
Yes, they do.
I can't believe that we're getting so into summer. And, of course, you know, this year has been just absolutely rocked with riots and everything else. And there's a lot can be said, but I'm not going to say it on this show. We have Twitter feeds and things like that, and I don't really get into a lot of commentary on how stupid I think some of this stuff that's going on is. But
indeed,
we, you know, last week we did discuss the fact of the death of George Floyd, and I'm not going to bring that up. That, I mean, that's just fine as far as bringing it up in news, but we've already
hashed it out,
and you know, it was wrong, but also as wrong as a lot of the other stuff going on. And
this
week, the lawlessness of Antifa has proven itself, which we knew what they were, along with the BLM, a lot of them. And so the politicians, even Chicago, the Chicago mayor is having a lot of trouble, among a lot of others. It's not a fun time. And in summer, it should be a fun time, but it's not. There are people in this country wanting to tear it down. Meanwhile, you know, we are discussing persecution for that occurs around the world, and this concerns the church. And, you know, Mission Network News had a good article, and they were talking. Of course, when you talk about reaching China, you know, China has had a lot of churches built, and there was a time that they allowed all this to go on, and then all of a sudden they changed their tune. But the China-U.S. relations, you know, are tense. And Mission Network News had an article about this. And, of course, what we're talking about is that you know, when you look at Taiwan and Hong Kong, both of those, China would like to have it. Now, this isn't new. Some of the news that they put out makes it sound news, like it's new. And in this article, that you know, they write that Premier Li confirmed China's desire to bring what it views as Chinese, as a Chinese province under its control. They want authority over Taiwan, and of course they want authority even better or closer with Hong Kong. Now the British government came out, and that didn't meet very well with what they... So the whole thing is really a mess, but the bottom line of it is that when we talk about doing the gospel, and the gospel and missionaries go hand in hand. And there's always been those nations that, in the old days, were closed. You know, Tower?
Yeah, I remember China was closed for years. And Red China.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, Russia was another one that was pretty tough, and it was closed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple of friends that went to Russia, and there were other. And when they say closed, they're closed. That was a fact of life. But today, with our openness through the internet, we begin to think, well, just because they're online, that they're friends of freedom. They're not. And, of course, the point came up when they were talking about all this, about Bibles, and how do you get Bibles into China? I remember talking to a businessman friend of mine he's retired, was a Christian businessman. Tower and I know him very well, and they had a daughter that actually did some work in China. And this was when China was a lot more open, and it was later on. Of course, since then, it's closed down. But, you know, he spoke openly about, you know, the Bibles and the freedom of Christianity over there is what he saw. But, you know, today now, China has really cracked down. And Bibles for China is a program that they get with partnering Chinese churches to get legal Bibles into the hand of rural believers. Well, there's a problem with that. The problem is that most of the churches now that used to grow or were growing now are closed, and there's a persecution going on over there concerning this, and the only thing left is the government churches that follows the government's rules for everything, including all their sermons. So nobody really knows how you're going to get this program is going to be working. Now, that's why you have other agencies that actually sneak Bibles in. And you may say, well, as Christians, we shouldn't be sneaking them in. Well, you get them in any way you can get them in. And, you know, the God law, you know, going to all the world is more important than the rest of it. And so we're to get the gospel out there, and that's what we need to do. And when you have the laws of men and governments and they conflict with God's law, it's very simple, isn't it, Tower?
It is. You obey God, not man.
That's exactly right. And matter of fact, that's what Peter and the boys said too when they were told to stop. And, of course, the guy in charge of this, Kurt Rovenstein, he said, the mandate for us is to provide scriptures for those who cannot or would not have it otherwise. The avenue may change or how you do it, but the mandate remains.
That's right. Amen.
And so that's the thing. He says it isn't, life isn't back to normal yet in China. Of course, you have the coronavirus, and many of the churches are closed. And, of course, there's a lot of them that they closed completely and even destroyed. So there's a lot of problems when we talk about China. But there's a lot of other closed nations as well that are really, really hard to get scriptures into. And, of course, when we get to the point of how do we get literature into the hands of those in these countries, we have to do it any way we can. And, you know, I'm reminded of a story. Do you remember that story that it concerns Romania and Ceausescu?
Yes.
And
I think so.
And how they were transporting tracts and scriptures.
And Bibles.
And this one guy was crossing the border, and the border guard, of course, he knew the border guards, and he had a trunk full of Bibles. And the border guard looked at him, and he says, I need to look at your trunk. And he said, you don't need to look at my trunk. And he says, yeah, you do. Yeah, I do. And he had Bibles in there, and he said, he went back, he opened up the door, and the whole trunk was full of Bibles. And the guy looked at it, and he says, okay, you're free to go. And he got in the car and left and was praising God because, you know, he didn't know exactly what happened, but it looked like that this guy did not see the Bibles that was right there in the trunk. And so there are miracles going on, and we've reported on a lot of miracles, and this is one we remember from way back concerning Ceausescu. Of course, you know what happened to him, and of course, Open Doors came out of that whole thing as well. And so we're talking about a move of God. This is his gospel. It's not man's.
That's right, and it's the living word of God.
It is. It is the living word of God, and there's a lot of difference here. And so whenever we get caught up, you know, Tower, and I think this is the problem with American churches and American Christianity. We live in a region of rich and in need of nothing. But when things begin to get tough, like they have been, people begin to wake up and say, well, what if? Well, the what if is this, is that when everything goes to hell in your country, there's God. The Lord can make a way. And there's miracles and signs and wonders. And so there's things that you need to understand that in America, we have been spoiled. And the fact that we've got a lot of punks, and I call them punk, because that's what they are. You know, we saw them kill this black chief of police that was retired. And the kid got caught. He was a young black man. He wasn't very old. And there was another one that got caught with him, and they were looting the stores, but they shot him right in the back of the head and killed him. Now, that's a punk. And there's a lot of them that
They're cowards as well.
Yeah, you're right. And so you got Antifa doing a lot of stuff. Even now, there's a lot of repercussions from what happens. But if you get rid of the cops, if you get rid of any semblance of control, you're going to have the inmates in charge of the institution. You're crazy if you do that. And I can tell you that when you get rid of organized law, there's going to be one left. And that law is going to be the law of the Old West. And Americans are very good at the law of the Old West. But the problem that you have today in the inner cities, you need police to help get this straightened out. And so China, they don't put up with it. They just flat throw you in jail, kill you, run. You remember Tiananmen Square?
Oh, I do.
You know, those people disappeared. A lot of them got killed. China don't put up with it. Neither does Russia. But see, some of our liberals that are running these particular cities seem to have opened up their city and let these guys go burn and pillage what they want. Now that's rewarding wickedness.
Yeah.
You don't reward a thief. See? It's just like when you have a ransom. You pay a ransom and you're paying them to do their job, which is be bad and kidnap.
Which is criminal.
Yeah, you can't do that. You know, I remember an old line from a John Wayne movie, and it had to do with the kidnapping of his son in this show that he was doing. And he was telling someone there, when those who were with him found out that he wasn't taking money to get the kid back, it was just full of paper, they got mad at him. And he says, I discussed this with your mother, and we're not going to pay them for kidnapping our son.
Yeah, and that's right.
They were going to go in there and kill him and get him back. Now, you see, folks, there is a law and there's an order. And in China, the law and order of communism, they even defy it in the face of God. Now, that's where the issue comes in. But that doesn't mean, no matter what nation you're in, including North Korea, as Christians and as a call, God has the first order of business in your country, not some pompous dictator. Period.
Yes, amen.
Now, another one I wanted to discuss, this is World Missionary Press. Of course, when we get into this, again, COVID-19 around the world. Now, you'd think that we're done with it. But matter of fact, I've got a new article that I wrote, and I've got some information updated from the AARP as well, talking about how many seniors are dying of COVID even right now. Right now, the senior population in America is really, really threatened. A lot of them have died, and this is an issue. And most of them are in nursing homes, are in retirement homes. Now, see, World Missionary Press, when you're trying to spread the gospel, you do it open evangelism, house to house, street evangelism. And around the world, because of this COVID, everything has stopped. But there's one thing that has filled the bill, and that is scripture booklets. Now, you see, many years ago, Tower and I had tracks made, and we had contacts in India, and we sent them money and sent them the copy of the tracks, and they made them into their language. And
was it the Telugu? Is that
how
you say it?
Yeah, I was thinking that's exactly what it was, Telugu. And they passed them around. And there was people getting saved, And so you're getting the gospel out. And so, as it was pointed out by World Missionary Press, that with these scripture booklets, with the Word of God, and for me, the perfect word would be the book of John. I love the book of John. And I think that's one of the greatest books there is. His testimony and his gospel is just number one. And he says they can slip these in with their other little packets and be distributed. And they're putting them in with the food and getting them into the homes. And so these are important things when we talk about it. Is getting this. But there's another issue that we know exists, and this is not new, folks. It's not unusual when you're sending food or supplies or Bibles even or other materials like these booklets for them once they get into port to stay there. And many times there's a port fee. Many people look at this as like a bribery fee. They're not going to do anything with it until you pay them the money, and then they will allow it to go by. I mean, we know about that.
And, yeah, that's been going on for years and years.
Yeah, it has. And so trying to get into a country is one thing. And then once you get it shipped there, that's one thing. Then you've got to get it off the wharf. And while it's on the wharf, you got to pay for, security guards, security people to take care of it. And then when you're transporting it, like if you were in Ethiopia or some other place, and in order to get it, especially in troubled areas, you need a whole whole army practically just to get the food safely to where it's going, because in many cases the rebels will take the food because they're trying to keep chaos going on in the region. And the last thing they need is some do-gooder Christian ministry trying to bring food to the people that they want to control. And so the number one rule in globalism and socialism and Marxism, and that is if you control the food, you'll control the people. That's the old status quo. And it's when we get down to the mark of the beast, kids, you know, the mark of the beast, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you're not going to have food, clothing, shelter. You're not going to have nothing. So you're going to have to depend on the miracles of God to supply. And so there's a lot of issues here and a lot of things. And so while you're looking at it, there are ministries right now that have got some outreaches going, but it's really difficult. And the other thing, when we get to this, we also talk about China Online and during the Wuhan. And of course, there's a lot of them over there that were doing online visitation. And a while back, persecution.org did an article about an online gospel gathering that was going on, and they were doing it via Zoom. Zoom is really, really popular, and I have thought about going on Zoom as well. But see, Zoom is pretty much watched. It's not totally secure like others are. The police in Wuhan came over and took away the preacher who was doing the meeting. And after 4.5 hours of interrogation, they released him. I mean, you know, you preach for 30 minutes, the cops take you for almost 5 hours. I mean, how's that?
That's torturous.
Oh, yeah. And the whole day online event, proclaiming Jesus, had a focus on evangelism and church planning. And, you know, about halfway through, the police arrived, and this is after the other time, and trying to find the evangelism materials and publications. And he was able to witness to police. Matter of fact, that was before they had picked him up for the 4.5 hours. And he was able to witness to the police how Christians were serving the city during the pandemic. They became speechless and were made to think what Christians did during Wuhan's most difficult moments. This is the pastor. This is what he said to these police in China. He said, "I rebuke them, calling them out that they are not minding business that they should be minding. Christians disregarded their own lives to do good things, yet the police treat them as bad guys. This is unreasonable."
Yeah, good for him.
"I also told them a few times, in all seriousness, I will only live for Christ. I will not argue on other matters. However, I will never change my persistence about evangelism." In the end, the officials politely sent him out on his way out of the police station.
That's deliverance. The Lord delivered him out of that.
You know, I could just see them cops. "What do we do with this guy? He won't shut up." Well, note here, you just happen to have arrested or taken into custody on-fire preacher. And unless you don't want to listen to him from the jail cells, I suggest you let him go. This is a good story, you know, because you look at that and you can just see that, you know. "I'm not going to just sit here. I rebuke you people."
That's
you
right.
"Know, I rebuke you, you know." And he says, "I will never change." You know, of course, Amen. If they really wanted to hurt him, they would have. But you can tell that
maybe they're open to the gospel.
Well, I think so. You know, if you look at it, because we've seen where a pastor and his wife was actually trying to prevent the destruction of their church, and the guy doing the bulldozing ran him over.
Yeah.
And so not everybody in China really gives a rip. You know, if the government says tear it down, they tear it down. If you're inside, too bad, you die with the building. I mean, unfortunately. But there is something here, you know, also we want to discuss next, and that's Kenya. You know, when I think of Kenya, I think of all the animals, you know, I think of a nice place.
Yeah.
I think of safaris. I think of all kinds of things, the terrain. But see, Kenya, along with Nigeria, I believe is worse than Kenya is as far as persecution. But one of the things that does happen, now during the COVID-19, we've had reports from India and other places, and we had reports many, many years ago that this is nothing new again. It may sound new, but it's not. The fact of it is, when there is a flood, when there is a hurricane, when there is anything that destroys an area, and the government comes in, almost without question, the aid goes to the particular faith in that region, in India. For instance, it goes to the Hindus first. And way back, I mean, we're talking a long time ago, folks, the Christian churches were letting us know that they weren't getting any help. And they can have everything destroyed, and they still won't get anything out of the government. Well, they're a citizen, but and India's constitution guarantees freedom of religion, but yet they get discriminated against. And so, again, here, a pastor by the name of John in Kenya, Madeira, Kenya, says the Christians in the northeastern county are being denied aid. They've denied food relief by the local authorities because they are Christian from outside the country. And local Muslim communities have threatened and harassed them during Ramadan. And of course, this particular pastor says the sad state of Christians in Madeira is being unpublished because of the cessation of movement in the region and the celebrations of the holy month of Ramadan. Many Christians are suffering in the hands of the local chiefs who oversee the fair distribution of the government's relief food during this pandemic that has led to the closure of schools and churches. In my congregation alone, I have 12 families that have been affected. They're not allowed to go and go to the camp for relief because they're Christians and come from other parts of the country. Now, see, this is where a lot of the Christian aid from America can come in. But if you can't get it to the area, you're in trouble. And so this is an issue here that we see time and time again. And so the pastor said again, he said, we've tried to communicate with some churches to help us raise money to assist our brothers and sisters, but it's very difficult. Those churches are also supporting their needy families and pastors. So far, we've received $200 from an individual who loves the work we do in Madeira. We bought rice and maize flour. Now, we know of ministries of whom we have been helping. We are not connected to them in any way, except that we do have funds that we give to various ministries. And when you get in a thing like COVID, you need these ministries to make up the difference overseas, because we see this all the time. And China, I mean, India was hit real hard, and these other regions, it doesn't make any difference. If they're Christians, usually, or some other faith that the Muslims or the Hindus don't like, I mean, we find this all over where Christians, time and time again, are discriminated against. And of course, in this case, this story comes out of ICC or persecution.com. Well, they have programs where they can put people on the ground and get them money to go get food and clothing, food and shelter, whatever they need. And so this is why you need boots on the ground. This is why you need connections, and these groups can't do anything unless they have somebody that can give them money and help them as well. So it is a big coordination effort here. And so there's a lot of trouble out there. And even in America, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. And so we need to be working as under the Lord, you know, Tower?
Amen, we sure do. Because we're living in very perilous times, and we need to help the brethren as much as we can.
You know, you say that, but that, you know, you and I said this many, many years ago. How many times have we said that? But when you say it now, it like, you know, there's a little echo, but it's really perilous times.
It is.
You know, you say, well, this is perilous times. A little echo comes in, but it's really perilous times right now.
Worse than I've ever seen it or even imagined seeing things come to pass.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of issues here that are going on worldwide, not just in America. And the things in America, I mean, when you talk about the unrest in America, you find the unrest. There was a big article about Sweden as well, and how Antifa was over there, and there was BLM was over there, and their own radicals over there in Sweden. And they were fighting with the Swedish cops. I mean, literally, it was like war. And so in Europe, they're having problems as well. We see this around the world. There's a lot. And this is the lawlessness spoken of. And so the new article I got coming out, I should have it published tomorrow. You can catch all these articles. They're in time. They're biblical. Our websites are true biblical websites. I mean, we have biblical teachings. We do the gospel news, you know, this kind of thing we're doing now, and we have in-depth articles. You can go there and you can find articles that can help you understand what's going on. It can encourage you and things like that. So be sure to check these things out. If you follow us on any one of our social sites, all of them, pretty much all of them, will have our feed going through those social sites. So we do have another one here, and this is close to home for Tower and I, because we covered this bloody thing when ISIS went through the Middle East. We discussed what happened to the Yazidis. And so, are you ready, Tower?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is a story that comes to us from CBN, and it happened in 2014. This was during the time of the Four Blood Moons, the start of it. So it's been 6 years, and Leah was kidnapped by ISIS along with her entire family. They're Yazidis, which is an ancient people, and I think they were around the time of Abraham. And these people were brutally oppressed by the ISIS when they flooded into the area in northern Iraq. And after their capture from their home in Sinjar, her family was forcibly converted to Islam to live as second-class citizens for a while. And they worked for the Islamic State, mainly as herders, along with other Yazidis that had been moved there. But after some of the Yazidis escaped, the militants gathered all the men and took them away, never to be seen again. Many were killed and dumped into a sinkhole where their bones can still be seen whitening in the sun. We knew that they were going to take us out of this house. We were worried about the mobile phones, and so her and her sister-in-law buried the mobile phones, and they hid them in the ground along with cigarettes. And without her husband to protect her and her two children, Leah was sold as a slave, and she and other Yazidi women were traded like livestock and raped repeatedly by every new owner. Twice she became pregnant, but the Saudi man responsible for her forced her to abort the babies, even though it was forbidden by ISIS. And the city of Sinjar was liberated by Kurdish Peshmerga forces in late 2015. And days after that, CBN News contributing Chuck Holton toured the empty city. And he says, you know, if you ever heard of the city of Stalingrad in World War II, this is what I imagine it looked like. Everything just collapsed, destroyed. It's just a wrecked and shattered city. It just goes to show how ISIS only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, just like someone else we know. And this Dr. Ann Speckard, she's the Director of International Studies for Violent Extremism. She's interviewed dozens of escaped Yazidi women and their families. And she says, one Yazidi family I spoke to was step-by-step buying their daughters back from ISIS. And it tells you there is something corrupt and horrible going on, that ISIS is still able to operate. ISIS treated these women as subhuman, subjected them to rape, and treated them as slaves. And Leah, after being abused by seven different men, finally, her family was able to rescue her by paying a $19,000 ransom. And she took journalists back to see where her ordeal took place. And she said all these houses were full of Yazidi families. They were living there. I wish I was back in the past, even if I was in the hands of Islamic State. But at least I was living with my family here. My brothers and my husband were alive. No matter how long, the captivity, 5 years or more, as long as we were together and not separated. Regardless of the suffering, and no matter what happens, but not to lose them. And she says, when I was here, I never thought that one day I would be free. Now I am here and I am free, thank God. But I will never forget those suffering, forget the suffering they caused us. But for Leah and those still waiting, closure won't come until every Yazidi girl comes home.
You know, that was gut-wrenching.
Oh, it is.
And I'll never forget covering this particular thing. And there's no doubt. We knew that they were doing, and ISIS did that a lot, not just with Yazidis, but Yazidis was the worst.
Yeah.
When it comes about killing the men and boys they would kill. The young fighting age, they would try to get them to go fight for them or with them, but almost all the men were killed. The women were sold. They especially like green-eyed girls. And, you know, one thing, we learned a lot from the way this was operating. Number one, we found out that a lot of them in the desert, although they didn't have a lot, they had phones. And for us, the way we collected our information was through contacts, because during that time there was not many real news going on. And the news came to the West by text, in chat groups, by short videos, and things like that. That's the only way. And because of our experience in covering this every day, I mean, our Twitter feed, we were among the top 10 in the Twitter responses at the time. But the thing of it is that you have this go on, and you realize that there's one way to reach these people, and that's why we changed the focus of our broadcasts. We don't do three-hour broadcasts. We do 1 hour. We focus and get everything to where it'll work on a smartphone or a small tablet or something, because we're focusing on getting the word into the hands of people around the world, and most of them have a phone, but they do not and cannot afford a big system like most Americans may have.
Yeah.
And so it's a big deal how you understand these things work around the seas. All your we talk about fake news there. Here, there wasn't any news. There wasn't there wasn't anybody alive. And one, I remember specifically, and Tower and I have talked about that, one young woman who was a news broadcaster was on the Turkish border, and a Turkish soldier shot her dead in a doornail. As far as I know, nothing was ever done. But she was there to cover the Kurds fighting ISIS from Kobani. And the commander, a tank squadron, was overlooking the hill watching. They didn't lift a finger to help the Kurds because they hate them.
That's too bad. But I want to add here, too, that according to Kurdish authorities, at least 2,900, almost 3,000 Yazidis have yet to be returned to their families, including more than 1,300 girls, women and girls. That's a lot.
Yeah,
they need to come home.
And of course, the world's forgotten about it.
Yeah, because it's been 6 years, so that's nothing they think about anymore or regard.
Well, we're still waiting for Leah Sherbu to come back, and she spent another birthday in captivity. The ACLGA brought that up here this week or last week, talking about Leah Sherbu and her birthday and how she's still in captivity because she is a Christian and refused to become a Muslim.
Good for her.
Yeah.
For standing her ground.
Yeah. And so this is the way it is. And if you think you have a real problem in America, just consider a lot of these people that we're talking about. And Open Doors USA brought out something on Egypt. You know, it's something else. We've seen a lot of this, and this has to do with the church that in Egypt they were destroying. It's a 15-year-old church that had 3,000 Christians that went to this church. This is in Egypt. And, of course, Egypt, their connections to the gospel go way back. And it's really something else. It goes back to the cops. The Coptic church. And so the church, of course, for many people is a place where you congregate, you get married, you get baptized, you do everything. And so the church actually became too small there. And they couldn't have Sunday school classes or other activities. And so the Christians decided that they would add on to their building, and as a result, the villagers got mad at them. Because the villagers don't like an expansion of stuff like that. So they put on a couple of extra stories in order to accommodate everything. But when they were beginning it, of course, Muslim extremists attacked them. And that attack was stopped by moderate Muslims. And so what they began to do, the extremists, was build a mosque opposite of the church. And the village already had four mosques, so they put in another one. So to make a long story short, it went to court. And they tore down the building.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
Yeah, that's what you call justice.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, while people today in the news has been the killing fields of Nigeria, we've been reporting on this for a long, long time. And Morningstar News had something on that. And but this was a little different. And there was a Christian that was in north central Nigeria. They went after the Muslim Fulani herdsmen who had killed five Christians a short time before that. Now, see, we've been reporting on the Muslim Fulani herdsmen killing Christians for a long time, and they have. It used to be primarily ISIS in the region, and then the Fulani. The rumor had it, or the story that we had heard, is that Boko Haram had went to the Fulani and told them what they needed to be doing, and so they started attacking. Now, Buhari, who is the president in Nigeria, is a Fulani, and he hasn't done anything to stop it. But these Christians went and got him, and they went after him, and they actually caught them and turned them over to the authorities.
And I hope they're prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Yeah, they needed to.
Instead of letting them go, I hope they don't let them go.
And, you know, the thing of it is that what normally happens in these kind of situations when you have the Fulani attacking, you have them coming in with guns and just randomly shooting at anybody that they can, because most of them know where the Christian villages are, and that's what they attack. And this is not okay. And
no, it isn't.
This is why, you know, there's been some recent action on this, trying to get Trump to send some kind of envoy to Nigeria to try to get some action on this. Of course, he did start a Christian persecution. He has a whole council that monitors this now, and they have brought this up. And Trump had signed an executive order about the stance of this, and it has some legal teeth to it. So maybe this can stop it. But there's been hundreds of Christians killed at the hands of these thugs. And you know, we talk a lot about the United Nations. Well, George, you know, the one that got killed, his brother...
George Floyd.
Yeah. His brother sent a letter to the UN appealing for help because of some issues he had, wanting them to help get rid of the policemen in America, which is a stupid idea.
Yes, it is.
One of the most ludicrous things I've ever heard, but he's not the originator of it. There's a bunch of them that are calling for it, which is even stupider.
Well, I think they should leave the UN out of it. We don't need them meddling in America.
Well, see, the UN won't lift a finger to help Christians around the world that I know of.
No.
You know, and when you have the Security Council, on the Security Council are people that don't even treat their own Christians right and their own people right.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's
nobody
crazy.
Does anything. That's what I'm saying. You know, nobody. Now, Trump has come out and brought it out. And he's been one of the most pro-Israel, pro-persecuted church, pro-life president, among other things, that we've ever had. Not to mention pro-Israel. I mean, pro-American. And you might know it. The left hates him because he's pro. He's pro-America. We hate you. He's pro-Israel. Oh, we hate you. He's pro-life. We hate you. You know, I don't like persecution of Christians. We hate you. You know, I mean, dear God in heaven, what is the matter with you people? You're nuts.
We want to clean. He wants to clean the swamp. They really hate him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've got... we've got probably about 6-7 minutes here. Do you want to do this one?
Sure.
Okay. We've got another one. Go ahead.
This comes to us from International Christian Concern. And think about this. The cost of following Jesus. You know, it could cost you your family. And you could be out there all alone with nobody. But you have Christ. And this is about Yassin Bakari. He's a father of two, and he was living in coastal Kenya. And he fears that he will be killed. And this is his story about converting to Christianity from Muslim. And he begins with, "In February, I met a pastor in I'm not sure how to say the town. Kitani, maybe. Excuse me. While looking for casual work to do, and the pastor gave me a day job at the church, and during our interaction, he also presented the gospel to me in a way that I'd never heard it before. The Holy Spirit started working in my heart, but I was still hardened and did not think that leaving Islam would be the wisest thing to do. And this is the pastor's side of the story. The pastor said I was reluctant to give Yassin the work of trimming and cleaning the church compound because his friends would think that he is working with Christians. But I knew that I would get the opportunity to talk to him about Jesus Christ, and to my surprise, he did not reject or bring up arguments that Muslims usually bring up. And Yassin continued to contact the pastor for more work every week. And near the end of March, he accepted Christ as his Savior, and he shares this. In March, I was given some work again at the church, and that's when the pastor led me to Christ. I was fully convicted that I had no hope in Islam, and I was lost in sin, and that Christ is the way to God. And he said, at first, I did not think that my wife would be unhappy with me for converting to Christianity, but I decided to hide my faith before disclosing to her and the children. Before I could talk to her about it, though, she found me on the phone with the pastor discussing some scriptures. She confronted me and snatched my phone. She informed my family and the local Muslims whom we used to meet at the mosque. And he says, my father called some Muslim elders to convince me to remain in Islam or face the consequences. I told them openly that I had made up my mind and I would not change. 2 days later, my wife packed up her belongings together with our children and left. That same day, a group of young Muslims ambushed me at night, but I managed to escape through a window. And thankfully, Yassin did not choose to deny Christ, and God protected him that night. And the threats continued to escalate against him until the pastor organized his relocation to a safer place. And the pastor says, Yassin came to the church to see me and told me that his house had been destroyed at night when he was away at a friend's place for fear of being attacked. Excuse me. For his safety, the church elders raised enough money for his fare to relocate to another place. Excuse me. We have also learned from Yassin that his wife had been married by another Muslim man in Lamu Island, and the children were staying with their grandmother. And Yassin is concerned that his children will suffer, and he wants to be reunited with them, but the family is not willing to let them go. And though Yassin is still in hiding, he has decided to continue to place his trust in Christ. And he says the fear and pain that he has gone through cannot match the freedom and the love he receives from the Savior. I pray to God that he will be reunited with his children and they will come to know the Lord.
Well, you know, the Lord talks about forsaking all.
Yes.
And this is a story, this is common when Muslims come to the Lord.
Yes,
they really
is.
Put their life on the line in these countries. And I see how spoiled America is, like a bunch of babies.
Oh my goodness, that's the fact.
You know, and it's just ridiculous. Do we really know what suffering is? Do we really know, you know, what it's like? And for the most part, no, we don't.
That's right, we don't. Not in America.
And when you get to the point of your family being totally destroyed. And in Islam, if you go one place and the other goes, you know, I mean, it's gut-wrenching, you know. I mean, the woman, like this woman here, she didn't think another thing of it. She left. Now, when you look at the fact that some of these people are actually reached for Christ, I mean, like his wife, could definitely be reached for Christ. We've heard testimony of how God works in these countries, and she could easily be reached for the Lord. We've seen this. We've seen the enemies of Christ come into the Lord overseas in some of the hardest areas. So make no mistake about it. You in America need to understand that there are miracles and signs and wonders. He's a big God, and it's his job, and he's going to do it, and he's not going to be intimidated by man one second. The Holy Ghost is not afraid of Muslims nor afraid of anybody there. The God of the universe, you know.
Well, I wanted to add something in
here. Go ahead.
I don't want to downplay the suffering of people in America. Yes, people in America do suffer too. And there's all kinds of suffering, mental, physical, we have diseases, and people do suffer here. And our suffering here is different than the suffering overseas. But Christ can come in and heal and take care of all our suffering here and there. And yes, America in a lot of ways is spoiled. And I know that I cannot relate to the suffering of those people overseas and what they go through. But America does suffer too.
Well, you know, I call those sufferings gnat stings. You know, we're talking about persecuted Christians.
Right, right.
And I'm talking about a spoiled church. I'm talking about people that live most of their life sitting on cushions in a church that the very carpet could buy food for these people for a year.
Or longer.
And are we spoiled because we've been rich? Yes, we're spoiled. But, you know, may God help us in our spoiled state and deliver us and help us to be more effective for the gospel.
Amen.
And for his kingdom. Make no mistake about it, God is the judge. But he's not going to hold you guilty because you're a Christian in America. But he will hold you responsible for what you as a believer in America have done. Just like he'll hold believers accountable all over the world, as well as the wicked. You know, and so, you know, the bottom line here in America, we have a lot of enemies, and those enemies are even in our Congress.
Oh,
and
yes.
We have people up there that are in this Congress that openly call for the downfall of our system, and they're still a congressman. So, make no mistake, America has a lot of enemies right here, and there's a lot of perilousness and trouble. And so you need to make, you know, stake your claim, who you're going to follow and what you're going to do, because you're going to be challenged. Nobody sits on the fence here. We're going to have to be going, Tower.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you did, and we appreciate you, and we love you, and we pray for you. May God richly bless you.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to follow us on our social sites. Be sure to check out the shows and listen. We thank you, and shalom and good night, everybody. We'll see you again.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.